Hey, ECHL fans, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Step into the action with ECHL Ice Hubble, your front row seat to all things ECHL. Experience the thrill of the game through player interviews and insider updates on the league. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to ECHL Ice Hubble. My name is Amanda Arrowsmith.
And I'm Joe Babick. We are your hosts for ECHL Ice Hubble.
We'll be dropping a new episode every Thursday throughout the season at 12 p.m. Eastern. You can expect to hear from players, coaches, and staff within the league.
And today, we're joined by Joey Ratz from the Kalamazoo Wings. November is obviously Hockey Fights Cancer Month, a big initiative for all hockey leagues across the country. And Joey has a great inspirational story. He was playing in Europe a couple years ago, was diagnosed with cancer, forced him to miss all of last season as he was going through his chemo and radiation and his different treatments, but fortunately he was able to beat cancer over the summer, signed in Kalamazoo with the Wings, started this season on IR, but just made his debut last week for this season to come back and complete that comeback, and just a great inspiration for everyone out there, and we're glad he was able to share his story, and it's been great to see him back out on the ice here for the last week.
Yeah, excited to have Joey on today. He has a really inspiring story to tell and share with everyone, and we're thankful that he's willing to do that with all of us in honor of Hockey Fights Cancer Month. So we can go ahead and get started, and we'll welcome Joey on. First off, I want to welcome you, Joey, to ECHL Ice Hubble. We're really glad that you're able to join us today to obviously come and tell your story through cancer and hockey and be able to raise awareness for everyone in the league. So we're excited to get to know you better and your journey, and we can go ahead and get started here.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. I'm super grateful to be here and help you guys.
No, yeah, again, we appreciate it. And I guess just to start, you know, looking into your background, you know, you're from Las Vegas, which, you know, back at that time, there was an ECHL team out there, but the Golden Knights weren't there. It wasn't a huge thing out there at the time. So how did you get involved in the hockey? Did you go to Wranglers games as a kid, or what got you invested in playing the sport?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm a dual citizen, so my parents had me on skates at 2 years old. We were we started skating out of the Santa Fe. Every arena there kind of had a casino attached to it growing up, which was pretty cool. Wranglers games were awesome. That was the hockey that I watched most of the time. But hockey started early for me, 2 years old, and even though Vegas didn't have much hockey at the time, it was going to Wranglers games and then just the small community, hockey community, that got me to where I am.
So obviously the dual citizenship helps, but at what point did you make the decision that, you know, you were going to be playing at a high enough level that you felt comfortable, you know, go to Canada, play juniors? When did that all come about?
Yeah, so it was kind of after the recession there in 2009. My parents, hockey in the Southwest and was just a lot more expensive than in Canada, where Canada is just a lot more affordable. I had family in Canada as well, so I actually stayed with my aunt and uncle in Coaldale, Alberta, played a minor midget in Lethbridge for the Pronghorns, and then I've always known that I wanted to go the college route, the NCAA route. And so I got an opportunity to play in the Alberta Junior Hockey League. From there, I was drafted in the USHL, played for the Sioux Falls Stampede in the USHL. And then from there, I committed D1 to Arizona State University, which was the first year that they got a D1 team. So it was almost like the full circle. I grew up when I was in Vegas. I played a little bit in Arizona. I'd fly back and forth from Vegas to Arizona. I played with the Junior Coyotes, Austin Matthews, and those guys in Scottsdale, and it was just cool to commit to Arizona State because it was the full come around.
Yeah, we wanted to touch obviously on your time at ASU. So how was that experience going in, being at Division I? You know, that was the first year. So how was your experience there in college and then also with hockey?
Yeah, no, it was the most amazing experience. I'm so grateful. I've no regrets for going to Arizona State. Just with, as you guys know, the weather and the lifestyle is on another level. But to play hockey there as well, it was something special. They have so many amazing resources for the players. It's such a large university that anything that you needed, they were there for you. And it only transitioned to even more away from hockey. A lot of the Arizona State alumni, the guys that played there that first year, they've kind of hung around Arizona because it's just a great lifestyle. And even when I was when I come back in the summers, or when I had my health diagnosis there, I had a lot of those guys and a lot of those coaches and family and fans support me throughout that time. So yeah,
that's awesome. So following ASU, your next step was going to the Utah Grizzlies. So just walk us through, you know, that being your first professional experience.
Yeah, Utah, they've also another great organization. Being in Salt Lake City, there's just a lot of things that you can do. I know it's a long season, but it's very accommodating to players to play there. And Utah was amazing. Loved the ice there. Ever since they had the Olympics in 02, they just every arena there in Salt Lake City has amazing ice. And not saying other places don't, but Utah specifically, they treat their players really well. And I've everything good to say about that organization.
After that season, you went over to Europe. You know, I think a lot of players always have that in their mind to go over there. You did it after 1 year. What led to that? Was going to Europe always something you had in the back of your mind when you began your professional journey?
Yes, most definitely. Growing up, I just, you know, I've always wanted to have that experience to play overseas. I mean, as a young kid, you always want to play in the NHL, but when I was given this opportunity to play in the top league in France, I ran with it. Didn't really know what to expect until I got there. It was an incredible opportunity. Smaller population town. It was the two teams that I played for there were in the Alps, the Briançon d'Able Rouge and the Gap Repos. Also, like, such a cool experience. It was like a skiing, snowboarding town. They would get over 300 days of sunshine a year, which was incredible, especially being like in a winter town. But nothing but great things to say about that league as well. There's good, the bus schedules were a little long, but, I mean, that comes in every league, right? It was really cool. There's something different about the European experience where like the fans just, they're, it's like football, soccer, where they're just like cheering and yelling. It's like a religion almost, over there. So it was just cool to see both sides of it.
What would you say, other than that with the fans, what was like the biggest comparison of playing overseas versus in states here?
In the states, like it's definitely a lot more physical. With the bigger ice sheet, you're not getting hit as much over there. There's a lot of incredible skaters both in the US and or in North America and overseas. But it's more of a finesse game. If you're hitting someone over there, you're going to get a penalty or you might even get kicked out. Where here, it's just part of the game.
You were over in Europe during that 2019-20 season when, you know, COVID obviously was starting and lockdowns and it really started in Europe. So kind of take us through that. And then you didn't play the next season. Was that just because of fewer opportunities around the world because of COVID?
Yeah, 100%. So right where I was playing, actually, it was only about 30 to 45 minutes away. Those smaller towns in Italy were being affected from COVID. So I wanted to stay behind with some of the guys and experience Spain and a few other countries like you usually do after your season. But that was cut short because of we had to be sent home, and there's the six airports that we had to be sent back to, or one of the six to be quarantined, screened and then quarantined. And then the following year, there was a lot of teams and leagues that were kind of up in the air. I know a lot of teams didn't play as well. So I chose to stay home in Montana, where it's a lot less populated and it was a little bit safer at the time. My family is in Arizona and Montana, but in the summers, it's Montana, and just with the lower population, it was a lot easier to go about life and just take a little bit of time away before getting back into the swing of things.
So going from those gap years and then obviously back to Arizona at some point in between Montana, when did your cancer diagnosis kind of take place within your hockey career? And just tell us about how that all started, how you found out about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is exciting. So, I was diagnosed in May of 2022. Never thought I had cancer or any type of illness or disease before. I was always a top athlete, and like I would always come into the season in incredible shape. I would always try to be the top 3 to 5 players, and just being in good shape, endurance wise, stamina wise, and there's just something different about the UK. I wasn't in the best shape, but I didn't think I had cancer. I would go to the sauna every day and try to sweat out like whatever was going on. There's like a little bit of mold that affected me, but I didn't think mold could cause any damage to my health. And when I got back from the UK, I woke up, it was about 2 weeks after our season. I woke up with a small golf ball sized tumor on my neck, and right away I was like, there's no way it's cancer. I'm just gonna sweat this out. So I would wake up early in the morning, go to the sauna, go for runs, rollerblades, whatever I could do to sweat it out, and it just wasn't going away. And my wife, she kept telling me like, you need to go get that checked out, and I was just like super stubborn, like a lot of men are. And so I kept putting it off, and my symptoms and everything just kept getting worse. It started spreading faster and faster throughout my body. Got to the point where the golf ball turned into the size of a football, and the doctors thought I had 3 days to maybe a couple weeks to live. So
Wow.
it was crazy how fast it took over my body. It went into my lungs, and usually when it metastasizes into the lungs, it's almost like you're not gonna make it. But with my faith in God and my wife and so many supporters by my side, I was able to persevere. But yeah, so we went down to Scottsdale, Arizona. I had a chemotherapy treatment plan set for me, and I really wish, I don't wish chemotherapy or cancer upon anyone. But I've also learned so many things that have helped me, and maintain where my body's at today. And even being a professional athlete again, it's truly remarkable at what the human body can achieve when you put the right things in your body, and you treat your body with utmost respect. So yeah, you can go ahead and ask any other questions.
So, following the diagnosis, you obviously did the chemotherapy. How long did that go on? And then what has the treatment entailed over the last 2 years since that time?
Yeah, so with the chemotherapy, I was about 200, just over 200 pounds my last regular season game over in the EIHL, and the first round of chemotherapy brought me from over 200 down to 140, 144
Wow.
to be exact. So I lost all my muscle right away. I couldn't walk, I couldn't talk. I was on oxygen. I was completely fried. Like I really couldn't think for myself. I couldn't make my own decisions for myself. I was really just praying that I was going to recover. And that took me out for a long time. I didn't have I mean I usually like the things that I could do with my body with like just eliminating I wasn't able to do that for about a year and a half properly. So it's incredible. And the things that I do every day, and I encourage others to do it every day, is just getting your electrolytes. Infrared saunas are amazing. It puts your body in a false fever so that you can heal and fight off any infections or disease. But there's a lot of like cryotherapies. Kalamazoo Wings, this organization is by far top in the league for their resources, like cryo. They have salt rooms, salt baths. It's truly unbelievable, and I'm so grateful to be here and to help others on the team and just anyone who comes my way, from knowing my story.
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit because I saw that you were using some, I don't know if I would say holistic approaches, but something that medical teams or doctors might not suggest first, and that has obviously helped shaped you to where you are now in recovering, still on that road. So, what were some things that you implemented, to try to better yourself from what you could control?
Yeah, so and I mean, Western medicine helped me in so many ways as well, because I was so far gone. So I'm so blessed for both, because like I could not be here today if I wasn't doing the chemotherapy. But transitioning, just like the cold tubs, cryotherapy, cryo chambers, a lot of the infrared saunas, and then do like I was doing acupuncture. I was doing deep breathing exercises is huge, and just allowing your body to get more oxygen. Cancer feeds off sugar, so I had to change my diet completely. I've done a ton of different fasts and different diets overall, but just breathing and getting movement in, a lot of lymphatic tapping, massages, because that's where the cancer completely spread throughout my body, and that's my problem child. I rebound on the trampoline every day. It's pretty cool, but I do a lot of things, a lot of tapping, and a lot of like just I maximize my resources to the fullest, and if there's anything that someone recommends, I'm trying it. It's just cool. Ever since I started this journey, it made me so much more eager to learn more. And so a lot of it's trial and error, but a lot of it's just seeing what works for you too.
And obviously, when you're going through cancer and the treatments, the mental side of things is just as important. So, how strong was your family support system? Was there a person or two in particular who was a good pillar to you to help you get through everything?
Yeah, my wife, we just got married in August, but she is the most incredible human being on this earth. She's my angel, I like to say. Like she did save my life, because without her, I don't think I'd be here today. She's truly remarkable, and she helps me every single day. If I was down or depressed, she told me I can always restart my day. If I was in pain or ache, having aches from the cancer, I just restarted my day. She would make me laugh and smile, and we would dance, and just everything that would help us get through the day and feel better. We would pray and pray, and just it's I'm so grateful and so blessed to have her in my life, and my family especially as well, and all my friends. Arizona State University, there were so many guys that would come visit me in the hospital and just be there for me, whether it was just showing up and just helping out and checking in on me. I knew I have such a great platform of people that have helped me get to where I am today.
So, moving on, now you're with the K-Wings, obviously. So, what kind of brought you to that turning point to be like, hey, I'm ready, I want to play professional hockey again? And how has it been? Obviously, you were on IR for a little bit, but how has that been just getting back onto the ice, getting back into a routine?
I love it. I mean, I've missed it for a little bit. It's honestly, I'm so grateful for the KZU Wings. They just being here and allowing me to make a comeback, and it's just I'm truly blessed. Like it's hard to really put into words how grateful I am. I can't wait to get this going, and we have such an amazing group of guys and leaders on this team. That it's we're just such a tight-knit family in here. So whenever it's time to go, I'll be ready to go.
After all your treatments, how long did it take you to get back on the ice and then build back up to where you felt comfortable enough to be able to sign and play hockey this season?
Yeah, so after the rounds of chemotherapy, I was super weak. Like obviously I couldn't walk, and every day I'd walk 3 miles a day on an incline treadmill to help just reduce the visceral fat in my body, and then just help my cells turn over. But I mean, I did a lot more than just that. But once I was able to get on skates, even though I was a little bit anemic, I still got out there with the guys, and a lot of the Arizona State alumni or ex pros that are from Arizona. I was skating with the NHL alumni for a while in Arizona, and once I started getting back into the swing of things, I knew I was able to make a comeback. My body is so much stronger than it's ever been, And so just knowing that my body is so capable when I do the right things for it and put the right things in my body as well, I knew I was ready to go. And it wasn't until I knew for sure was this summer in about the end of June, early July. I knew I was capable to come back, but once I was completely cancer free and I had zero remaining tumors in my body, I was all in.
And did you, were teams pretty receptive? I mean, you haven't played obviously for a while coming through the treatment, but I mean, there's a lot of guys who've been in the same situation before. So just kind of walk us through your being recruited and talking to teams this summer and how that all went coming off your treatments.
Yeah, no, I mean, I haven't done treatments. I do a lot of like holistic or other treatments just to keep my body in top shape. But I haven't done chemotherapy in a few years now. Just I've been in touch with a lot of the same resources that I've had. You know, Brian Curran, he was a head coach and player for the KZU Wings, and I talked to him before coming here. Joel Martin, he had a really good relationship with my head coach at Arizona State University, who I've been skating and practicing with the Arizona State Sun Devils with that men's hockey team down in Tempe. So I've been skating with them for the last few months before coming here to KZU, and so he's been watching me and helped me, and with his relationship with Joel, he kind of had a few good conversations with him. I was talking with the Grizzlies head coach and a few other teams just that I've had history with, and I mean they all welcomed me back, and I just felt the best place for me at this time was KZU and what they had to offer, especially with health resources and just helping others, anyone that's going through this situation to be in tune with their body and you know what's best for it, just trying different things and just I mean, it really was a process, but trial and error, and just really kind of pushing to get as healthy as possible.
Obviously, you mentioned you're really enjoying your time so far with the KZU Wings, but how has the support been from, the team itself and all the other guys? And have you been able to, share some of what you're doing on a day-to-day basis to stay healthy and all of that with them? Or just how is that all going with the team?
Yeah, no, most definitely. We always have what works for us, and we do. We've had a few. My wife and I, we've made dinners for a few of the guys, and so like we'll have dinners together, just kind of show them what we put in our body, what we eat, what we don't eat, and then just extra things. Like everyone's just so curious and to see what works for them. So we have resources like the Zen Den here in Kalamazoo. We have US cryotherapy, so a lot of guys will experiment with red light therapy, infrared saunas, cryo chambers, cryotherapy, cold tubs. They're already doing a lot of those things too. So we're just kind of like ideas off the wall. Just what's going to make you feel better every single day.
Well, Joey, we certainly appreciate your time. At the time we're recording this, you haven't been back on the ice yet, but hopefully by the time this airs, you'll be out there making an impact on the ice as you have off the ice. So again, we thank you for sharing your story with us and wish you the best of luck here the rest of the way.
Of course. Thank you guys so much. I'm so grateful to be here and help you guys out in any way possible.
So again, thanks to Joey for joining us and sharing his story. As we said, he's an inspiration, and it's great to see him back out on the ice and making a difference with the K-Wings, and hopefully continuing to have a strong season the rest of the way. We won't have an episode next week because of American Thanksgiving, so wish everyone out there a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time with family and friends, and hopefully you can get out to some games over that week. And we'll see you again in 2 weeks. Make sure you like, subscribe, comment on our podcast. You can follow us on social media as well at ECHL Hockey on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and at ECHL on X. Thanks, everyone.